Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For many years, I was always puzzled by something in the book of Genesis when God comes to the Garden of Eden and asks Adam, "Where are you?" Surely God knows. Why is he asking this question? Well, it occurred to me, he's not asking Adam, "Where are you physically?" But where are you spiritually? Where are you, Adam? Now, Adam passes it off, huh? "I'm naked. Because of this woman you gave me, I ate the fruit." So God goes to the woman. And she passes it off to the serpent. Now, what would have happened if Adam had said, "Lord, I have sinned. I am in a state of sin." We don't know, huh? But in any event, Adam and Eve brought us into a state of sin called original sin. Original sin has removed us from the Garden of Eden and brought upon us certain punishments, primarily death. And we have a darkness of our minds and a weakness of our wills. So what a state are we in? Where are we? We're in sin. But thanks be to God, and this is the great contribution of St. Paul, thanks be to God that we have a Savior. We're not left in this state. God has planned, from the very first moment of sin, he planned to redeem humanity. He planned to redeem all the universe. And this is why the Church gives us this reading on this feast day. It reminds us where sin came from, and that God, from the very beginning, had a plan. It's here hidden in verse 13 of chapter 3 here, where he says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers." The early Church saw this as called the proto-evangelion, the proto-gospel, a hint of redemption from the very beginning that would refer to Christ, our Redeemer. He would save us. So Mary's healed and crushes the head of Satan. This is why in our wonderful statue here you can tell the very bottom, Mary is stepping on a serpent. The serpent is striking against her because she is the one to bring our salvation into the world. And that God had planned this from the very beginning, that he would need the cooperation of a woman. A woman got us into this, so to speak. Eve's disobedience needed to be undone by Mary's, what? Her obedience. Listen carefully to the words of Mary at the end of the Gospel. "Let it be done unto me according to your word." Mary was prepared for this task from the very moment of her own conception. And this is what we celebrate today, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. That in the womb of her mother Anne, Mary was preserved and free from all sin, especially original sin, that she would not be tainted in any way because she had a mission ahead of her, and that this was given to her by a special grace that would come to her from her own Son on the cross. That Jesus was blessing her ahead of time so that she could say yes freely to God without any hindrance or any fear. So God had done this for Mary. So Mary can freely cooperate with God's grace. The good news is, we too have been given this grace. Original sin was washed away at baptism, huh? We still have to contend with death, darkness of mind, weakness of will. But thanks be to God that grace of Jesus Christ comes to us. and can overcome all three. Our darkness of mind, that we can be illuminated if we try, if we put our minds to understanding our faith. We can overcome our faults and failings if we try, if we apply God's grace to our moral life. This is the message of today's feast. But the Immaculate Conception wasn't something 2,000 years ago or so given to a woman, but was given as a sign that all of us can cooperate with grace. All of us can respond like Mary to God's will. Let it be done unto me according to your word. That should be on all of our lips every day. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray that we have the grace of Jesus Christ always in our lives, and that we may always respond like the Blessed Virgin Mary, cooperating in our own salvation.